Right, we are just talking a bit about prayer. We really said that this year we want to be a praying church, amen. We want to be a church that really goes to God and pray and put our desires before Him and our concerns. And how can my prayers be more powerful? Part two we're going to look at today. Just quickly about prayer. Prayer is not something that one can fix on a piece of paper for an outline and say it should always be like this. All right? It's like saying, for those who play sport, you should always run exactly at this specific place on a hockey field or an netball field. No, you need to adjust. You need to adjust, determine on what the opposition is doing. But there's some rules. For example, you can't pass the ball forward in rugby. That does not work. Okay? In netball, you can do that, I think. Okay? You cannot play rugby with a hockey stick. Okay? Except if you play in Brakpan. All right? You see, so there's guidelines, and within that, there's freedom. And the same with prayer. My first prayer, I'm very shy about this. You know, the first person I pray to, it's probably why, maybe not smart to show young kids the story. My first prayer went like this. Liewe Hexie. Dankie vir die kos. No jokes. I heard the liewe somewhere. And it went straight. That was my first prayer. Okay. Yeah. So I made a comeback. Amen. God. Yes. And I'm here today. Wow. That's scary. Prayers take different forms. There's something to say for having a list in your home or in your car. For example, on a Monday when you get in your car, you pray for your family. And then on a Tuesday, maybe you pray for everyone that works with you. And then for a Wednesday, maybe you pray for all your leaders in church. And then on a Thursday, you pray for those who are in high positions in our country. There's something to say for that. To make sure that, I mean, you've got a good prayer life that covers different areas. One day you only pray for your own spiritual growth, for that spiritual growth of your wife and of your children, and you pray into your home. That's okay. So it'll be quite formal, right? But it's also okay to be free in prayer. It's also okay to say, Lord, I'm putting out a half an hour. I'm going to walk up and down on this field or in the park, and whatever you lay on my heart, I will pray that. So, Lord, I'm an open book. Can you see the godliness in that? So which is wrong? None. None is wrong. Both is right. Prayer is just vast. Prayer can be planned in some ways that we want you guys to pray about the comeback at this stage. But if you find someone in the park that needs prayer, you didn't plan that, but just pray for them. Can you see? Prayer is vast. But there's some things we can say about prayer that will help you, and that's what I'm focusing on. So I'm trying to lay out the lines, but I want you to play on the inside as you feel free and as the Spirit leads you. Amen? So just quickly, last week we did How Can My Prayers Be More Powerful, Part 1. Just doing a very quick recap. We said there's two things about the powerful prayer. The first one is the person, and the second one is the prayer. The whole idea is you can copy the prayer of someone who walks very close to Christ, word for word, but it might be that the prayer does not carry something just because you repeat the words. Amen? Even though you say, Lord, Lord, maybe he will say, I did not know that person. Saying the words is not magical. All right, and so last week we focused on the person, and just one slide up there from last week. This is Jesus. Immediately he made the disciples get into their boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, he said goodbye to everyone. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. So it's talking about the person that is devoted to prayer. And remember, I shared the example last week from before I knew God, I met God face to face at the end of grade 12, a matric. But I had a prayer book before that. And one of the things I prayed for, which is a funny thing, is I was going out with my wife back then. I prayed every night that one day I will marry Junaid, believe it or not. But I was not devoted to prayer. I was devoted to my needs. And so I was very committed to pray for my needs, positions I wanted to achieve, things I wanted to get to. So I was not devoted to be with God. I was devoted to get through my list. Can you see the difference? And now Jesus shows a devotion to be with the Father, sends everyone away. And we see it many times in Scripture. He's out on the mountain. He's praying all night. So the person is developing his relationship with God by spending time with him. Remember, the disciples could not drive out the demon from a young child that was falling in the fire. And then Jesus said, this only comes out by prayer. But they did probably pray for the kid. Go out, demon, go. But they did not work. And so Jesus was referring that you need to be devoted to prayer in the nighttime so that in the day when things happen, you'll be ready. You'll carry something. The person and the prayer is important. But firstly, to be devoted to prayer is to generate a lifestyle where you spend time with God. Whether you have a need or not, you're just there. You are devoted to that time. Can you see that? That's what we did last week. This week, how can my prayers be more powerful? We're moving to the prayer itself. There is forward passes in praying. Okay? There is prayers that might not be so effective as others. Now, God is not crazy strict about this, but he does teach us how to pray. Remember? Pray like this, and then he shows us something. Which, by the way, is also wide lines that Jesus draws for the disciples. We're going to go through it today. What are some of the key ingredients to godly prayer? This question will be answered tonight. I'm going to give you 5 points. Are you ready? Tik net die persoon langs jou en sê, moenie slaap nie, vanaand 10 uur kan jy slaap. Renier, jy kan maar slaap in die diens. Okay, right. Let's read the Lord's Prayer and let's see what Jesus is saying about prayer itself. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the key of the Lord's Prayer, of the Onze Vader, it's not that you copy it word by word. It's not the heart of it. You may do that. There's nothing wrong with it. But the idea was not that Jesus gave this one prayer that should be the only word for word prayer used for the rest of eternity. That's not the heart of it. What he does is he gives us some things here that almost identifies different areas of prayer. It's a bit like building a hamburger, all right? So you've got a station where all the onions, you've got the station with all the tomatoes, you need a bun at least, otherwise it's, I don't know, it's meat with veggies, you know what I'm saying? You need to put it on a bun. And so, but you can have many kinds. I like some of those blue cheese on, bring it. I'll put it in somewhere. And you say, yeah. Cook sister burgers. So I want you to see these stations. Number one, I'm going to give you 5 points tonight. Number one, Jesus says, we pray to our Father in heaven. Remember last week, there's nothing wrong to address the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're so good to me. Thanks for being, remove not your presence from me. You are a great counselor. There's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong to pray to Jesus. Jesus, thanks for forgiving me. But Jesus, in this model prayer, he teaches us that prayer essentially can be aimed at the Father, which previously was unapproachable to all people except the Jews. So we pray to the Father through the Son with the guidance of the Spirit. our Father. But what is important about this is the following, that you are not praying to some mist or saying a few words before you eat. You are talking to God who's alive and who's like a father. You're not talking robot here. You're not just saying stuff because you're learning. Get this. He's listening as a father that cares. And it's interesting when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, very intimidated by the Pharisees. These guys walk and pray. They walk into walls while they pray to show the people how amazing they are, praying with all the people watching. Then Jesus says to his disciple, you're not praying to your master, you're not praying to the harsh boss. Say, our Father. He softened their hearts. He cares for you. So start there. Father, oh, you know my heart is upside down. Father, there's a Father listening. Very important. Our Father in heaven. Just close your eyes where you're sitting. Quickly close your eyes. Now scripture says, where two or more are gathered, there he is. Now while your eyes are closed, let me tell you what he is here. But you can miss him this whole evening if you are not here. If you are not present with him. When you start your prayer and you say, my Father, our Father, that moment he's there, be present to him. Where you are sitting with your eyes closed, you cannot hide to this Father anything because he cares too much for you not to know what's going on in your heart. He's here. You can open your eyes. Our Father is in this place. Number two, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Offer God worship. Check that first part of the Our Father. Your name, your kingdom, and your will. Now, this is a very important part of prayer that Jesus is saying. This is not just by accident. This is very important. I'll show you why. Who he is, what he has done, and we express our willingness to be a part of what he will still do. Your kingdom come. When you pray that prayer connected to God, what you are saying, you have a kingdom in heaven, God. And that kingdom, that principles, the love that's experienced between the Trinity and the order with all the angels, that kingdom I want to see more of here. Will you agree with me that that kingdom is not 100% shown here? Through the church in glimpses, through believers at work in glimpses. When you say that, you say, Jesus, Father, first and foremost, as I come to prayer, I am here to help you. Be a representative so that the kingdom there can be shown here. That's why I'm here in prayer. Firstly, I'm at your service before I bring my needs. My heart is that what happens in heaven happens here. Here I am. What should I do today? You are opening yourself to be used by God. So if you feel used after serving God for 5 years or 10 years, say, glory, hallelujah. You are fulfilling your purpose. Amen. What happens in these precious moments before we go ahead in prayer is that a shift happens in our hearts. The moment we address worship to God, the Holy Spirit settles something in our spirits which changes us. So you might come to God with a massive worry. All right? You had a fight with your best friend. And there was words used, and then there was an awkward silence, and then there was a WhatsApp message, and then there was a Facebook post, and you know. and this is just bad, and you decide, I'm going to pray about this. But you are extremely worked out with this fight. You've got a need, right? So you come to God. If you would follow what Jesus is saying, that you're coming in, you say, Jesus, your name first. Your kingdom first. Your will be done. Here I am. And you just spend some time, Lord, you're so amazing. Your kingdom come. Let me show you. The moment when you worship him, he will turn your heart back to the problem you came with. And you said, this small problem, everything has just changed. Because you've been in God's presence, putting glory on his name. And he says, I am so big, you are so small. Phone your friend, make up. Ekes jammer, boom, problem solved. When we come to God in prayer, focusing on his name, our priorities gets flipped upside down and we actually pray his will. When we offer God worship, priorities shift and we actually get delivered. Your name, your kingdom. Can you see that? You see, you came there for yourself. And then God changed around now. Now you're going to represent me, so you're going to say sorry. But they wronged me. No, you say sorry because you asked that my kingdom come on earth. Let me tell you how my kingdom works. I put an innocent person on a cross to die for the sins of the world. Now you might be innocent. You resolve this relationship. You're bringing my kingdom down. If I knew this, I would not come into prayer. Are you with me, everyone? We offer him worship. Let me just say something about worship. People who pray and grow in prayer, offering God worship is not based on your emotions. It is a discipline of giving thanks to Jesus for what he has done. And how you feel cannot change the fact that he died on that cross. So you may worship whether you feel like worshiping or feel like doing nothing. You can get up and worship. Can you see that? This is what Christ is inviting us to. But that is maturity. It's maturity to move there. Challenge yourself. Grow in prayer. Worship him. David says in Psalms, how many times he says, I will worship. If I only worship when I feel like worship, here's the truth. I'll tell you when I feel like worship in church. When the band is there and these guys come with their faith, they've prepared, then I want to worship. So if I only worship when I want to worship, I'll probably a once a week worshiper, church. And that's okay for you. If you're new around here, you're starting your relationship with God, you have to start somewhere. And I'm glad you're starting it. But my heart for you is to move beyond into maturity. I will worship my King. When my money is done, spent for the month, when I'm in my bed sick, I will worship him. It has not changed. I invite you to that place of maturity. We're talking about the powerful prayer. That is power. That's power. Number three, we should express our wishes. Praise God. Give this day our daily bread. Now, I knew these guys loved bread, okay, and fish. And it's not only talking about bread. It's not only asking God for food. It's give us today, Lord, what is that thing on your heart? Now it's okay. Now, Lord, that relationship, I feel better because I spent time and I focused on you and I realize now I should say sorry, but I'm just still bringing this before you. But now your heart has changed. The frustration and the anger is out. Now you're saying, Lord, I bring this to you. That's your bread. I need this today. I need this person to speak with me. I invite you in. Come and do an amazing work. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember that sermon 2 weeks back? It's actually focused just on this. Can we go to the next slide? Petition God in prayer. What is a petition? It's when you ask him something. Lord, I bring this want, this need to you. Please help me. What is those three P's? Who want to help me? Come on, 2 weeks back. Petition, peace, praise. What does it mean? You say to God what you want. You talk to Him about it. You read Psalms. You don't get up until your petition, your anger, your frustration has moved to peace. It's going to be okay. He whispers in your heart. Okay. Thank you, Lord. There's your praise. We start with the name of God, your name, your kingdom. And then we may say, Lord, I have this problem. So our prayer is God-centered, but there's validity to bring the human need to God. If someone says you should only worship God and not ask Him for what you feel, it's wrong. If someone teaches you only to pray what you want, that's wrong. We start with God and we move down. Because when we start with Him, He gives us new spectacles to look through. And then our prayers on the petition reaches peace much quicker. Amen? We should express our wishes. He loves it when we do that, by the way. Number four, very important. We should confess our sins and forgive us our debts if we have forgiven our debtors. Or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Why is this so important? This is probably the hardest part to get it. But when a church gets this, we're going all the way. I'll tell you what, you always have a sin to confess. Listen up. You always have a sin to confess as long as you breathe. We carry the sinfulness in this world with us. We are forgiven if we are in Christ, but constantly we are renewing that relationship with God. We say, Lord, You've forgiven me. You've given me a new heart. But as I wake up, I don't have a desire to spend time with You. I have a desire to run out of Your presence. Forgive my heart. It wants other things. Can you see that? When we come to Christ and we come with a lot of sin, stuff we've done, physical stuff you can do in the day and the night, whatever, it's very hard to, then it's very easy to repent of sins because you can say, Lord, I did this again. All right? Or I should not do this again. But once God starts to clean you, you need to move beyond what you do to who you are. You have a heart that wanders away from God. And so do I. Are you with me? In this world, the temptations constantly comes for our heart. And even if we come to God and just say, Lord, my heart has eyes for other things. Forgive me. Washes you. You seek and you make it a discipline. I'm not saying you should be a dear Mikey with the next verse. No, no, no. In fact, when you do that, if you can have a discipline of confession, the opposite happens. Let's go to the next slide. Do you want to be lifted up? Do you want to feel blessed? You need to know how to speak about your sinfulness to God every day. He gives grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. You want to get out of a situation? Get down. Lord, I feel like that person wronged me, but let me just talk to You about my heart. It is sinful. What do you get? Grace. The empowerment from God to do what you cannot do. And Jesus gives us this tip. He says, confess your sins. Not once when you get saved, your sinfulness which is in you. Lord, today my mind wanders. I want to think and talk about everything except You. I open Your word today. I'm not even hungry for it. I'm more excited about the coffee I'm making. This is just, You need to come and change my heart. Now we're talking maturity. Can you see that? Only those who are down low can experience the relief. And Jesus helps us with that. Forgive me my sins. Are you guys with me? Awesome. We're going a bit deep tonight. Confession of sin is a habit and a discipline that powerful intercessors embrace. You talk to people that pray a lot. Those prayer warriors, they always talk about the town that must repent. Always. The people should repent. It's always the same. And then they're right. We should do it daily. So I want to encourage you, when the two areas of discipline that you need to embrace here is the discipline to worship. You are amazing. Your name, your kingdom, and the discipline, I'm not. Can you see those two? And then he flips it around. He encourages you, lifts you up, and sends you out. That's what the Lord's Prayer is about. So push into his presence and push into repentance. Just like what this one guy says, he says, have a short account with God. Have a short, speak to him 2 times, 3 times, or 5 times a day. And if there's something in your heart, just, Lord, forgive me for that. Keep the account short, because it keeps you light on your shoulders. I just need to show this thing about confessing your sins. Hanu kom staan net hier langs my. Between me and Hanu, Hanu's sins are obviously a lot more than me. So. But now, for example, some of the government of this church is our responsibility. Call is it a bit fair, so you can manage all play. But imagine both of us slowly but surely embraces a position of wanting to show the other one that I'm always right. Just slowly but surely, that Hanu, he doesn't understand me. And if I take that position over time, I will not make wise decisions for this church. I will make decisions to show him who's boss. Can you see the impact on the church's finances, which he runs, if my heart goes there? What if he does the same, which essentially makes every payment for this church himself? I don't even have the access. What if he says, no, I'm going to turn my heart against various. You know what? He's wrong, I'm right. What is that? What will that lead to for this relationship with this church? But what if both of us daily can come before God, before we take our task, and say, God, there's stuff in my heart. And he's saying the same thing. And when we enter a relationship, like, I don't know if this is the right decision. I think so. And he's like, this sounds like a good thing. And can you see how those hearts come together to seek God's will? He gives grace to the humble. Amen. Here can be a sit. I just wanted them to see the impact of this. What about a marriage? What about a marriage where both just seek to be on top of the other? That's so hard. It's so heavy to carry. What if both disciplines themselves to wash their own heart before God and the other one? How light. How awesome. No. I know you feel like this is that you wrong me. I know you feel it, but you're actually doing okay. That is the conversation that comes from this. It's beautiful and it's light. And you become a person that people wants to be around with. You don't always want to be right. You low. People gravitate to you. Isn't that amazing? When people gravitate to you, you can become friends. When you become friends, you can share and tell them about the love of Jesus. Confess your sins. Seek it. Press into it. Because it's making you a beautiful person. Amen? Number 5, respond to God's will. Very interesting verse. Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This can be a sermon in of itself, because scripture says that God does not tempt us. issue is just the Greek word for temptation can be temptation or test. It can be both. And it's very clear that God does test us. He says he leads us into tests at times. But when he tests us, the enemy wants to tempt us with that test. It can be a test for you to go through a very difficult circumstance this month, which might make your faith bulletproof. That can be a test from God. You've become more like Christ. But when that very same thing happened to you, the enemy is whispering, he's left you. Can you see that? The test is a temptation from the enemy's side that you may fail, but God wants you to succeed and be stronger. And so Jesus is saying, in these things you're experiencing, in these trials, rely on God and make sure when the tests come, you stay faithful. How are you going to be faithful? You're going to say, God, lead me not to fall. But the key word there is, if he's not leading us to fall, he's leading us to something else. He's leading. Where are you leading? If you're not leading me to fall, where are you leading? Which means he's going to give instructions. He's going to help. He's going to show. He's going to reveal through people, through the word, through your heart in worship. But when he reveals, you must respond. If you don't respond, it might be that automatically you fall into the temptation. Okay? Make sense? Be ready to respond to God's will. Where are you leading me, Lord? What is he saying? What is he whispering to you? And you know what? When you speak to God, you don't have to be still for a very long time. Often as you speak with him, he speaks the same time into your heart. But there will be a leading. And it might be something you want to hear. It might be something difficult. But trust him. Amen? The powerful prayer, if there's like lines on the outside look like this. We can go to the next slide. We pray to our Father who's alive. And we offer him worship as a discipline. Not connected to my emotions. Connected to truth. He died for me. And then we express our wishes, our wants, our needs, our concerns, petition, peace, praise. And we confess our sins. This order also is not set in stone. For me, let me be honest, I often need to get number 4 out of the way. Because when I'm mad at someone, it's very hard for me to go on with the rest. So I'm like, okay, I didn't want to pray today because I know this conversation is happening. I did it again. I'm sorry. And then it's always refreshing. It's always, don't worry, I'll help you. Go again. Off my shoulders. Now we can pray. And then respond to God's will. Respond to God's will. That might be hard. Jesus speaks about these two builders. The one builds on a rock and the one builds on the sand. And in my head, it's always, there's a house there by the sand where the waves break and there's a house on the rock. But typically what used to happen in those times is that it was quite a sandy, you know, area where people lived. A lot of areas were like a desert. And so you'd have to dig deep into the sand until you reach the rock. So there might be 20 houses together, and when the storm comes, boom, you see which one stands, which one was actually dug deep on the rock. But when Jesus speaks about this, it's very interesting what makes the one house rock-like. He says, those who hear my word and do them. Those who hear that voice and respond. Because that is so hard when you come to God. It is like taking a shovel in the sun, sweating blisters on your hand. And the beginning to obey God takes faith. And so many people, they don't go through that effort. They just stick the pole in. Now that might be, it all looks the same. When we look around, we're all here, right? We're all here. And my prayer, my hope is if a wind of a challenge blows against you and the rain falls, and the sea beats against that house, I pray that every house stand, but only you will know, are you digging below what is apparent, below what we are seeing here, to a place of reverence and obedience? If so, you will be safe, your faith. Amen. My heart, and I said it before, is not to pack this place full of a lot of shallow people, but to build men who digs deep and women who digs deep, so that we can change this town and not just look pretty on a Sunday. Amen? And I want to invite you to take the shovel and dig and make it real. Confess your sins. Listen to Him. Obey Him. Worship Him. Let's build well. Amen. Let's stand up today.